Our text is taken from the opening verses of Luke chapter 18. We will read verses 1 through 14 as we consider the parable of the Pharisee and the publican, first in its context, and then to give an analysis of the parable before us. We began this morning a short series on the Pharisee and the publican. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, nor regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Literally, be propitious to me, the sinner. The definite article occurs in the original language. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Upon this depends the entire parable of our Lord. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. We began, as I said this morning, a short series of studies on the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. This series of studies will be more in line of a Bible study, perhaps, than preaching. But as we approach the various parts and the subject matter involved, there will be very pungent application to be made. And that application of the Word of God is what is called preaching. I want to note first the context of this parable, and that is why we read all 14 verses. We have two parables concerning prayer and faith in the passage that I have read. Prayer and faith. And it is important at the outset to mark them both. We have in verses 1 through 8 what is known as the parable of the unjust judge. In verses 9 through 14, the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. Both parables speak of prayer directly. And both parables either speak of or assume the reality of faith. Faith is pointedly mentioned in the first. Look at verse 8. I tell you that he, that is God, who is not arbitrary as the unjust judge was. I tell you that He, that is God, will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? Faith is presupposed throughout the parable that men ought always to pray and not to faint. The word means to lose heart. The two great enemies of prayer are unbelief and lack of patience or perseverance. Our most fervent prayers, it seems, die a quick death when other issues crowd in upon our minds and hearts. Our Lord's parable stands that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? If you have your Greek New Testament open, there are two things to note in this statement. Ara, a particle that anticipates a negative answer. It is very doubtful when the Son of Man comes that He will find that persevering, praying faith on the earth. And the word faith in the original language carries the definite article, the faith, pointing to true faith. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will He find that true, praying, persevering faith? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Will He find it on the earth? We take this very stringent question to be an exhortation that we ourselves will be admonished to pray and to persevere earnestly that our prayers may be answered in God's time. Faith is implied in the second parable. The Pharisee needed no faith. He stood in his own self-conceit and self-righteousness. He had no need. The publican prayed in faith on the basis of the shedding of the blood of the sacrifice he had given to the priest before he entered through the court of the Gentiles, through the court of the women, into the court of Israel. And barely within that precinct, he smote upon his breast and cried out for God to be propitious to him, to receive him on the basis of that shed blood. I draw your attention to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Look at that very carefully. This has to do with Christian experience. This is a daily matter. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who constantly comes to God, the emphasis is on faith in the word order of the original. And then we find emphatically the one who is habitually or constantly coming to God. Faith is an essential to the one who is constantly coming to God. He must believe that God is. He's a reality. He exists. He's praying in faith. And that to the ones who constantly seek Him out, a rewarder becomes. So is the word order and the emphasis of the original. This has to do with Christian experience, and it is certainly pointedly applicable to prayer. Prayer is faith articulate. When we pray, we are articulating our faith. Prayer is the most exacting reality in Christian experience. There is no greater act of prayer than to daily pray and leave ourselves into the hand of God to seek His will and to seek answers to our petition. When you pray, you articulate your faith. To see the reality of this, we only must look at the two examples of unbelief in the Word of God, Kadesh Barnea. The 10 spies brought an evil report. Joshua and Caleb brought a good report. We can take the land. We will circumvent our enemies. We will defeat them. The 10 spies said, no, we were as grasshoppers in the sight of the long-necked ones, the giants, the sons of Anak. The people said, what? Would to God we had died in Egypt. Would to God we had died in this wilderness. The Shekinah glory of God came down on the tabernacle. Moses and Aaron fell before the Lord, and the Lord said, tell the children of Israel, I have heard their prayer. Their carcasses will fall in the wilderness until every one of them from 20 years on and upward will die. They articulated their unbelief and God answered their prayer. In the New Testament, we find the church at Jerusalem gathered together day and night. It was a spontaneous prayer meeting. In the original language, prayer happened. Prayer became. And it became a spontaneous prayer meeting in that time of revival. And they were praying for Peter's release. He was in prison for 8 days through the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Passover. And a few hours, perhaps 2 or 3 hours before it was daylight, the angel of God delivered Peter and he went to the house where they were gathered and he knocked on the door and Rhoda came to the door, heard Peter's voice and said, Peter's at the door. And they said, thou art mad. You're crazy. We are here praying for his release. He couldn't be standing out there. It is his angel. There, lack of patience in God was simply this. Does this sound familiar? If God were going to deliver Peter, he would have done it before now. He delivered him at the very last moment. If God were going to answer this prayer, he would have done it by now. Does that sound familiar? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then we see an example, the most extreme example of believing prayer on the part of the publican, who cared not about anyone else but himself, the sinner. God was focused upon the depths of his soul, and he cried out in faith to the shed blood upon the altar. I want to compare now these two parables. The first parable concerns an unrighteous judge who acts in an arbitrary manner. God, who will avenge his own, never acts in an arbitrary manner. He may seem to delay our answers, but when he acts, everything will fall into place and he will do a complete work. This is the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the second parable, we find that the attitude of the heart in prayer must be right before God. The contrast in verses 9 through 14 is between a self-righteous and self-deceived hypocrite, a Pharisee, and a humbled, contrite tax collector, who both went up into the temple for the purpose of prayer. In the first parable, we see that men must persevere in prayer and not become discouraged or lose heart. And that such faith expressed in persistent prayer is a rare commodity. Again, we are faced with our unbelief and we are faced with our lack of patience and perseverance. In the second parable, we see revealed the attitude of the heart and the true basis for prayer. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Merciful is not the usual word for mercy. It is the word propitious. God, be reconciled unto me on the basis of the shed blood upon the altar. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. The sinner. I don't know about anyone else, but I know. Before you and in your presence, I am completely characterized and permeated with sin. God, be merciful unto me, the sinner. And upon that definite article hangs the entire parable that is before us. Now, having dealt with the context of this parable, we move to consider its analysis. We find in verse 9 an introduction. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. In verse 10, two men, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. In verses 11 through 13, two prayers, all standing in stark contrast. In the first part of verse 14, two results. And in the latter part of verse 14, a conclusion. An introduction, two men, two prayers, two results, followed by a conclusion. So we will begin this morning, God willing, to open up now the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. The purpose of this parable as found in verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. That is inescapable. If you are self-righteous, you must despise or look down on others. The two aspects are inseparable. Our Lord now, and you might miss this, you certainly will if you do not have access to the original language. Most of you have a Greek New Testament or an interlinear on your lap. Look at verse 9. Jesus never minced words. There was no compromise in our Lord's preaching. He meant to convict those that were filled with self-righteousness. And that is what preaching is meant to do. Oh, the preacher was rough this morning. I tell you, man, he rode that hobby horse long enough. Didn't our Lord? He was the greatest preacher on hell. Look at the gospel records. 18 times hell became his theme of preaching as he warned men against the wrath to come. And he certainly does so here. Look at verse 9, especially if you can see the word order in the original. This is how it literally reads. And unto certain, and he spake unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others, this parable. All of that is emphatic together, placed before the words this parable. So the emphasis falls on the hearers and their predominant characteristics, their utter self-righteousness, their self-conceit, and their hypocrisy. Now we note two men, and the two men that our Lord portrays exemplify the extremes in that society. One was a Pharisee, the other a publican. The word Pharisee comes from a Persian word, farash. It came out of the Medo-Persian government that had toppled the Babylonian government, and it was under the Persian government that they returned from Babylonian captivity. Farash means to be separate. To be separate. The best definition or description of Phariseeism I have ever heard was from evangelist Rolf Barnard. He says, straight as a gun barrel, just as empty, just as deadly. Phariseeism is separation without the Holy Spirit. the Pharisee and the telones, the tax collector, the publican. The publican who is considered a traitor because he worked for the Roman government. The publican who made his living by overcharging his own countrymen and was considered a thief. The publican who is classified in that society with prostitutes and therefore the lowest dregs of Jewish society of that day. Our Lord portrays them as extremes. And that is vitally important to understand our Lord's preaching. Now we have two prayers which reveal the true nature of their hearts before God. The prayers of these two men are as diverse as their characters. The true inner state of each was quite different from his external deportment. How we look to the externals. We all dress up and come to God's house on Sunday. And we should. God forbid that we should come casually into God's house on Sunday. It's God's house. God's people are gathered together. This casuality that we have, where the preacher doesn't dress up and he's just a good old boy, and people come casually to church because there's no spirit of worship. My mentor, Dr. Peter Conley, a man greatly used in the Fisher Folk Revival of the 1920s, was Jacques Troup. Great man. Great man. A converted Roman Catholic turned to atheist. When he would come home from work after his conversion, he would wash and put on his best clothes and comb his hair, and then he would kneel in the presence of God for his evening prayer. Most of our prayers, my friends, are simply sanctified daydreaming, are they not? By the way, Lord, I pray for thus and such, and oh yes, thus and such. That's not continuing instant in prayer. That's just wandering thoughts that contain the name of God. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he who constantly comes to God must believe that He is, and that to them who constantly, it shows determination, who constantly seek Him out, a rewarder becomes. The seriousness as well as the glory of prayer. Look at the prayers of these two men. How different was their external deportment and appearance from the state of their heart and their soul. One stood in preeminence and with a great display of religion and orthodoxy in the court of Israel. The other remained afar off, barely within the sacred precincts, and was woefully downcast in his very posture and expression. In Herod's temple, which is the scene before us, we have the large court of the Gentiles. And dividing the large court of the Gentiles where the money changers were, those who sold sacrifice, sheep, oxen, doves, and so forth, there was the middle wall of partition. And written in Greek, Hebrew, and Latin were the words, "No uncircumcised enters these precincts upon pain of death." Then we have the court of the women, where the treasury was, of course. But that's not what I want to emphasize. When our Lord taught in the temple, where did He teach? After the court of the women, there was a barrier. Beyond that was the court of Israel. Only the men could enter the court of Israel. Beyond that was the court of the priests, and beyond that was the most holy place. When our Lord taught, as far as we can discern from the gospel records, He taught in the court of the women, equally accessible to men and women both. Just barely within the door of the court of Israel stood the publican, smiting upon his breast, downcast, the very picture of misery and sin. Standing at the front with hands uplifted, with his phylacteries around his head and attached to his arm, filled with orthodoxy was the Pharisee. But how different the state of the heart and of the soul. The one seemed to have the joy of his religion written on his countenance, with upturned face and lifting holy hands toward God after the prescribed manner. The other seemed to be in the awful throes of agony, face downcast, smiting upon his breast. But how different was their true spiritual state? Both were, in a sense, utterly self-absorbed. That's a bad word in our language, to be self-absorbed. It has a negative connotation, does it not? But not here. The other was filled with his own self-righteousness, but the other was consumed with a sense of his sin. One was filled with pride and self-conceit. The other was filled with remorse and repentance. One was concerned with the sins of others, thankful that he was not like them, and attributing the worst of sins to other men. The other was concerned with his own sins and had no thought about the sins of others. He was before God the sinner. The sinner, the very epitome of everything against which the law of God spoke, utterly condemned, and he was crying out for God's mercy. One despised everyone else. The other despised himself. One thought he had no sins to confess. The other was filled with a horrible consciousness of his own sins. One thought that he needed no grace. The other came to realize that grace was his only hope. One believed that he was inherently righteous in himself, his good works and his religious observances. The other cried out for an imputed righteousness through the atoning blood. God be propitious to me, the sinner. We deal now in our outline with the two results upon the completion of their public worship. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The Lord Jesus Christ, who knows the hearts and souls of all men, gives his own judgment on the Pharisee and the publican. Both of them returned home. The Pharisee had done his religious duty, just like some of us. I've been to church once on Sunday, and that's good enough. I don't need the Sunday afternoon studies. I don't need the history and the theology and the doctrine and the solid teaching of God's people. I already know all of that. It hasn't affected my life. But then again, I'm above that. I've heard it all before I have arrived. That's the Pharisee. And we have modern-day Pharisees, do we not? How different it is when they're put in the corner and they call the pastor and say, "Pastor, what do we believe?" "Well, I know what I believe. I'm not sure about you." May God have mercy on your soul. Pastors are unkind, aren't they? Because we tell the truth. And the truth, for some reason, in a fallen, sinful humanity, always hurts. The Pharisee had done his religious duty. He had prayed. He stood before them with unlifted hands and head. And he was there and he had a religious enthusiasm. And people looked at him. Ooh, ah, what a godly man. What a righteous man. What a brilliant man. How knowledgeable in the law of God. Impeccable. The blue garment around his garment. The blue border was there. The phylactery wrapped around his right arm. The phylactery around his forehead. Uplifted hands. The very picture and epitome of orthodoxy. And he went home unchanged, untouched. by God's grace and truth. And the publican. What is the tense in the original language that he's crying out? It's in the imperfect tense. It means a continuous action. He continually smote upon his breast. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And he kept crying out until God spoke peace to his heart. That's the sinner's prayer. Who said the sinner's prayer is prayed one time? It's prayed until God speaks peace. Until you've come to terms with all of your sin and with the reigning power of sin. Our Lord said, I tell you, that man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Have you been humbled before God because of your sin? Have you dealt with your sin entirely? When you come before God and pray, is it always, I need this, I need that? Or is it, I thank you, I'm not like this person or that person? What characterizes your prayer? My way, my righteousness, my religion, what I've done, what I am doing, what I can do, what I intend to do. It's all about me. It's all about self. Or is it seeing yourself before God and coming to terms with that reigning power of sin that condemns you before a thrice holy God? God, be propitious to me, the sinner. Propitious to me. Lord, accept me on the basis of the shed blood. Before those men had gone in, they had paid for their sacrifice. And by faith, they believed that the priest would take it, kill it, and in the court of the priests, while they were praying, unseen by them, before that veil, that they would pour out the blood upon the altar. The court of the priests was a small place with one altar, and there they were to pour out the blood. By faith, on the basis that the blood was shed, the publican sued for peace and forgiveness with God. The Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the triune Godhead, the eternal Son of God, took to himself a human body and a human soul. He lived among men an absolutely perfect life. That is his active obedience. And in his active obedience, he fulfilled the demands of God's law. Then, with everything that he suffered, culminating in his suffering and death, he paid the penalty of that law. And both his active obedience, his fulfillment of the law, and his passive obedience, his suffering, death, and bloodshed are imputed to us by faith when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we are saved. We are justified. We are pardon, we are forgiven, and that perfect righteousness is imputed to us. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Have you uttered that with all your heart and soul, having faith in the person and work of the Son of God? That is the action of saving faith, and that is the reality of prayer. Father, we pray that here, in this room, where there are unsaved people, unconverted people as well as converted, we pray that their eyes might be open to see the all-sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ in His active and passive obedience. Oh, that we might lay hold of that righteousness and find it imputed to us that we are fully reconciled unto Thee through the blood and work of Thy Son. Might it be, O Lord God, in the blessings of Your grace, through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.